Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, you're welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Would you believe it? We have a busy show ahead over the next 3 hours. Kev is here. How are you?
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Honestly, yeah.
Kev was doing the Lord's work yesterday. Kev was at West Brom, Brighton, for those who may have missed it. Those
classic.
Back among his own people.
Yeah, I heard Dave McIntyre talking the other week saying, Kev won't thank me for this, but I prefer the Carabao Cup to the FA Cup. Oof. I was like, Dave, come on.
Everybody prefers the Carabao Cup to the FA Cup.
Do they?
Carabao Cup is extra bonus football is the way I always look at it. Tuesday, Wednesday night.
Yeah, do you know what?
Kids are just back at school. You're looking for something to watch. And generally, you get a decent game here and there.
Yeah, but what I would say, though, you're probably right in what you're saying, and I agree with you, but you have Sky. You watch football. You do. There's not a lot of the people that would be, in general, casual football fans won't have access to live sport.
No, there's air, and there was an interesting article on it this week. More people watched, I've no doubt more people watched West Brom against Brighton last night than watched any game on Sky all year,
including
Manchester United, Man City, Liverpool, Man City.
Yeah. It's a really weird scenario whereby football has made itself rich off the back of fewer people watching it than they would have done before. It's a bizarre scenario.
Yeah, I don't know what the max audience would say a main Sky game would
Sky's
get, but it
record audience is in or around 2.2 million.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. Two to three.
Now, an awful lot of people obviously do watch the matches in pubs at the 4 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday, but the BBC could and do put on first round of the FA Cup games and get 5-6 million.
Yeah, I don't think it was that much. I did that AFC Wimbledon and Haringey game, and there probably was about three. It was BBC Two as well. About 3 million would have watched it. It's crazy, really.
Was that game on BBC One or BBC Two last night?
That was on BBC One. Yeah, extra time.
It ended up on BBC Two.
Extra time. We had to get shifted.
Because I only saw the end of Extra Time, and I saw you on BBC Two.
Yeah,
I didn't even realise it was on.
Yeah, there you go.
It got shifted.
It was a chance to see Wes Hoolan playing one of his last games.
Once they took him off, everything fell apart for the Baggies.
It's probably true. Very true. Yeah.
Can we get Wes back?
He looked good. He looked good, yeah. He did the same old Wes. He didn't, he did great, didn't he?
He's that classic example of a player who knows his age and has curtailed his game and customed his game.
It is, but
limitations.
Has his game changed that much? He's never had pace, so he doesn't need to rely on that. He's still got the quality, he's still got the class, the eye to pick a pass out. It was a Wes performance from him last night, really. Yeah, it was.
You enjoyed your trip to the Hawthorns?
Did you?
Did you get a warm welcome back?
Oh, yeah. It's nice. It's nice, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Are you going to start getting the big gigs? Are you going to get the cup semi-final, the final? What do you need to happen to get the cup final, do you think?
No chance.
you probably would have needed a sort of Everton-Sunderland FA Cup final.
I need a cup win, yeah, definitely. I would have thought, yeah. I don't know. I'm doing Donny against, which should be a decent game, actually. It's next Saturday, Doncaster and...
Should be a decent game.
I'll be good on Donny, though.
He's going on the hard sell.
I know the assistant manager, Cliffy Byrne, really well.
Donny ain't the same since Paul Keegan left.
Yeah. Who they got next week? That goes to show. I've just got me...
Aside from Newport playing Manchester City,
Brighton-Burnley, yeah. It's Donny. Who Donny playing next round? It's a good game.
We could run a competition on this and nobody would know the answer. Proves the point that the FA Cup has lost its magic, Kev. It's all about the Carabao
and
Cup
I'm at
now.
Newport County. I'm going to Newport County see Porrick. So I look forward to that as well.
Are you covering their game against City?
Tottenham City. Tottenham last year. See.
You are really not a good salesman for the FA Cup. The games that nobody remembers
not
either before or after.
BBC.
So coming up 7:30, John Giles will be with us. We'll be talking about Liverpool's stuttering form at the moment and Manchester City getting back to the top of the table. We'll also be chatting about defending set pieces, in particular looking at Everton. 19 set pieces.
You're going to put that to Johnny tonight. It'd be interesting to see what you're saying on it because... Everton, we spoke about it on Monday with Joe and we were trying to get some sort of feeling on why they've been so bad from them. And I think Marco Silva was saying prior to Saturday, it's not necessarily corners, it's wide free kicks. Yet last night, again, another wide free kick. It was a simple ball played. And if you look at Kurt Zouma, what he did, Kurt Zouma drops, doesn't take any responsibility to go up against Laporte, and Laporte just has a free header.
So but whose responsibility
actually a really good
is
finish.
That? Because, so... Laporte starts beside Zouma and then drifts behind him. So if they're not man-marking, is it not the defender behind Zouma who's responsible for picking up Laporte?
Well, no, because you're supposed to be body open. So essentially when you're doing zonal marking, it's 2 yards to your left, 2 yards to your right. Or if you're doing like the zonal marking, say you're facing a corner, 1 or 2 yards behind you, 3 yards in front of you. So you're covering an area of that essentially should be covering 7-8 yards. Essentially, if you know what I mean, like front and back of you, where you are, it sounds a bit complicated, but it isn't. You've just got to basically go and attack the ball if it's in front of you. If it's behind you, a yard behind you, if it's going too far over your head, it's your man that's in the zone behind you that takes over.
So why do you think Everton are so bad at defending?
I don't think it looks to me like they don't even work on it.
But surely when 4 months into the season, you look at the statistics and you've conceded more goals from free kicks and corner kicks than anybody else, you go, maybe we should do a little bit of work on this. I'm sure Marco Silva said they have been trying to.
It was something that I said. I said it on Monday, though. If you looked at him at Hull and looked at him at Watford, he was dreadful from set pieces at those clubs too. They look so vulnerable marking the way that they mark. And when I was on with Keith Andrews a few weeks ago, Keith saying when teams are marking zonal, as soon as you take a short corner, you shift in the zone. Who takes responsibility then? It doesn't seem to me like they're working on that. The second ball, Everton played Brighton off the park early on this season. Brighton took a quick corner, edge of the area. They kind of all squeeze out with the ball, but no one takes responsibility to go and mark a man. So that's what it seems to me they're not able to do. They don't seem to take any sort of responsibility when the ball gets shifted as well.
All right, we'll chat to John Charles on that from 7:30. At 8 o'clock, Andy Dunn will be with us to talk about the Ireland team. 5 changes from the side beaten by England last weekend. Robbie Henshaw, the latest player to be ruled out injured. Then at 8:30, we're going to talk about a big, big story, very serious issue for Irish horse racing and horse racing in this part of the world. There's been an outbreak in the last day or so of equine flu, and it's meant that all racing in Britain has been suspended until next Wednesday as they try and get on top of this. Now, at the moment, everything in Ireland is okay. Racing is continuing, but we are going to speak with the Chief Veterinary Officer of the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board just after 8:30 to get the latest on that. Obviously, we're a month away from Cheltenham.
That is the worry, isn't it? And there has been history of this where it's been a prolonged rest from racing in certain countries. So I don't know. I think this is a worry. I think, yeah, certainly at the moment.
The hope is that they, because of the tracking systems that are now in place, that they can contain this very quickly. And there's a 3-day incubation period, I think it is, so that
3 days before symptoms show.
Sure. Yeah. So if they get to Sunday and there's no more cases, they should be fine.
Right.
So that, I think, is a reason for suspending racing till next Wednesday, because by the time then they get everything back in order, just to give themselves
a little bit of space. Yeah.
But obviously there were Irish horses in Britain yesterday racing when this happened, which have been put into quarantine and won't be returning home. So yeah, there's a lot, I think, in that, and we'll chat about that at 8:30. And then football show at 9:00. Kev is going to be here and we're going to be talking about Spanish football and El Clasico, one of which happened last night. You probably missed it because, unfortunately, nobody gets to see Spanish football anymore.
I do. You just have to subscribe to 11 Sports.
Yeah. I do.
Do you subscribe to it, Rich?
I don't.
I do. Do you know how I got signed up? So I signed up at the start of the season.
You got suckered in by the golf.
For the golf.
Yeah.
And then they make
it free
so
for a week.
Bloody complicated to cancel it. I just never bothered.
Yeah.
But it is quite handy if you're sitting in an airport of a Sunday evening and you're like, there's nothing to watch, and you remember. You're watching the highlights on Twitter and I'm like, God, I wish I could. Oh, wait a second. I actually do pay for this. Yeah.
I did the same with Amazon audiobooks for a while as well. And I couldn't end the subscription. It was too complicated. And so I've ended it now, but it took me ages to bloody get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I still have Amazon Prime as well. So can't get rid of that. Not a clue.
Amazon Prime's grand. They're after putting Parks and Recreation up there last week, so I'm happy out.
How do I cancel it, though? I got it for the Manchester City documentary, though I did sign up with my wife's credit card.
Oh, God.
So she now gets the, what is it, €3 a month? It's not very expensive. €3 a month and cannot figure out.
Is it as good as Netflix?
No.
No.
I prefer it to Netflix.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why?
It's got more watchable TV shows on it, and their films aren't necessarily as obviously second rate as the ones that are on Netflix are.
So. Right.
Ah. I kind of prefer Amazon at the minute.
But you're like, you saw that, yeah, he is, honestly.
That's what I say, yeah. I was standing about the other week, yeah.
Can't win.
His musical taste is
Of course, today is a very special day. It's a very special day. What was it, Kev? 2 years ago we celebrated your big day, your 40th birthday.
Yeah, just over
2 years.
Who
was the first man we called and said, "Will you come on and wish him a happy birthday?" And
of course, cheeky bollocks.
It was the great man. Say that again.
Hey, cheeky bollocks.
That's what he texts back when he said, "Will you come on and wish Kev a happy birthday?" Mick McCarthy, 60 years ago today, was born in Barnsley.
Yeah, great man. The great man himself, yeah.
Did you just text him to wish him happy birthday?
I didn't. No, I didn't.
What?
You cheeky bollocks.
Text him there and wish him a happy birthday. Go on.
No, I'm not doing it on there. Okay. Come on, lads. Come
text
on.
Text him there and wish him a happy birthday.
No, he's... No, come on. He's...
Text him. Text. Mick, congratulations on your special day. You've always been special to me.
Oh, what a tool you are. Tom.
Text him that there.
No,
and
not.
See what he responds with.
Send him my love.
Do you know what he wants? What he'll come back with? What do you think he'll come back with? The famous one.
You cheeky bollocks.
Go and get yourself fettled.
I don't think he didn't say that. I think he'd say the one that he said to the Norwich fans when he scored that goal. Yeah. Yeah.
Go on, Kev.
No, I'm not doing that.
Ah, Kev,
no.
Come on.
No, I'm not
It's like
that.
A mini version of Michael McIntyre.
Can I text him?
It's just one text.
Can I get his number?
No, I won't do that.
Yeah, well, give me his number then, I'll text him.
Oh, would you look at that?
Oh, here we go. Ah, Kev. Just, like, he came on for your 40th birthday.
Yeah.
And he came on the show and you would even
send him a
text
about you. Said you were like a second son to him.
He never said that.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, you're just like.
Close.
Along those
yeah.
lines.
Close.
Yeah. But there was genuine warmth.
Well, yeah.
And also, he's in a very powerful position now in Irish football. You want to keep on his right side, Kev. Oh, when we go looking for an interview with him in 2 months' time, he'll be, yeah, where were the birthday wishes, Kev?
Yeah,
you're getting in touch now that you need something.
So now I text him, it's like he's probably got somebody who will be associated with it. I think he's actually in the country at the moment. He could even be listening now himself.
Well, Mick,
so
come on in, we'll get him a cake. If he comes in, we'll get him a cake.
No chance.
Is there a party tonight that we're not invited to?
No chance.
Are you going to Mick McCarthy's birthday party after the show and you're
Where's
just not telling us?
One of those gaps in Nassau Street that you go to.
I suspect he is.
Just relax yourself for 5 minutes, will you?
All right. Richie, where are we starting?
We'll start with Carlton House, the Ireland side for Saturday's Six Nations game with Scotland. As you mentioned, shows five changes from the one humbled by England last week. Rob Kearney returns at full back with Robbie Henshaw, a late withdrawal, having not trained at Carlton House this morning. Chris Farrell is the man to partner Bundy Aki in the centre. Jack Conan and Sean O'Brien come in for CJ Stander and Josh van der Fleer in the back row, while Quinn Roo replaces the injured Devon Toner in the second row. Following last week's loss, Schmidt bemoaned a lack of edge in the dressing room prior to the England game, but he feels that that has returned just in time for Murrayfield.
Yeah, there has been a bit of edge. I do think we had a few tired bodies coming in. We had a few guys who hadn't played a lot, you know, and it is hard to suddenly hit the ground running. You know, Connor and Johnny hadn't played together since Australia and hadn't played a lot full stop. Connor coming back and Johnny not having played since the Munster game. So I do think that there's no way that we wanted to volunteer any excuses because there are none. You've got to get out and you've got to play well in your first game, and we went lost at home for over 5 years in a Six Nations game, and that hurt for sure. And there weren't too many guys who slept well on Saturday night, and you know, it probably took us really till today to really get a spring back in our step and really get hungry, because we can't pass up a second opportunity to get our best foot forward.
Conor Murray, for those of us streaming online, joined Schmidt at the top table this afternoon and was asked what Ireland need to fix from last week's defeat.
I think as players, I think we even understand that we were a little bit off in certain areas, a little bit inaccurate. You know, you could say it's the first game of the tournament, but as a playing group and a coaching group, we're pretty disappointed at how we started the game. So that'll be a bit of a focus for us to be pretty sharp. You know, we've been to Murrayfield before and got off to a slow start and made things pretty difficult for ourselves, and you know, Scotland are a better team than they were back then even. So for us, it's about having that sharpness from the off and trying to maintain it as best we can, and that was the focus this week, you know, around the decision makers as well.
Despite scoring a hat-trick against Italy last week, Blair Kinghorn has been replaced on the wing by Scotland's top try scorer from last year, Sean Maitland, for Saturday's game. Elsewhere, Simon Bergen, Josh Strauss and Johnny Gray come in for Willem Nel, Sam Skinner and Ben Toulis. Scotland head coach Gregor Townsend was asked how they can go about beating Ireland on Saturday.
If we play like England, yes. I thought England were so impressive. Tactically, they were spot on with how they played. Physically, the effort their team put in was immense. I think a lot of people focused on the defence, which was very good, but to get the amount of carries and to not get Ireland stealing your ball at breakdown was impressive too. They've set a template for not only how you take on some of the best teams in the world, but how you play rugby at international level and get success. It's hard to replicate because it needs accuracy and huge effort, and we obviously play a slightly different way than other international teams, but the players have seen what England did and how they were able to get that win, and I'm sure we'll be taking a few lessons from it.
Yeah, Scotland obviously have a bit of depth as well, able to drop their hat-trick try score from last week. Blair Kinghorn, Sean Maitland coming in. Robbie Henshaw, the latest injury worry. As usual, there's a lot of, maybe he was injured and they knew very early on and they were just trying to sell them a dummy by saying that he'd be back in the centre when Chris Farrell was always lined up to return.
Yeah, but I think he trained earlier on the week and they usually have Tuesday as their marker for players who aren't necessarily fit. As we saw with, was it Gary Ringrose and Devon Toner, they were the last ones to pull out because they didn't play or train on Tuesday. I think Henshaw genuinely was probably a late call as regards whether or not he'd play this coming Saturday.
I prefer my conspiracy theory, but that's fine, Richie.
Typical.
If 100 man. People text in, do it Kev, he has to text Mick. Sounds fair to me.
Is it?
53106 is the text number, or just leave a comment on any of our social channels. One of the suggestions is, hi Mick, just want to wish you a very happy birthday from all here at Off the Ball. Mm. Kev says you're his favourite sexagenarian.
Honest to God.
We could send him a little selfie here now and send him on WhatsApp.
Should do.
And happy birthday from all the lads.
You love a selfie, honestly. It's all for the profile. All for the profile.
Well, on that, Gary Wicklow says, lads, why would you watch a match on Sky on a Sunday when we have you guys doing commentary on the radio?
There you go. There you
go. Gary's my favourite. And we're going to also on the football show be talking about Kev's PFA Team of the Year. It's far too early.
Far too early. And the last, the PFA.
Kenny Cunningham did one last night, yeah, so Kev needs to get his in.
Well, I heard Kenny talking about it last night. Kenny making the suggestion that they're actually putting them in now. They won't be going in for another 6 weeks at least yet. Joe and Kenny had the facts wrong last night.
Shocking. So we'll correct those facts. Yeah.
And also, show. As well, Kenny's pronunciation of Matt Doherty, I was disgusted.
He went with Doherty. That's outrageous.
Outrageous.
He has two. He has Declan Rice in his team.
Yeah.
In the middle of midfield. We'll have to see after nine if Kev also goes with Declan Rice in his team or Matt Doherty, if either of them
Matt
get their
Doherty.
Play.
Matt
Declan
Doherty.
Declan DeMayo texts in.
Doherty, for God's sake. Yeah,
Declan DeMayo texts in right after the show last night, just as they finished, said, not one Spurs player in your top 11. He was outraged by that. So we'll see if there's any Spurs players in Kev's. The fear has clearly gripped Kev with the thoughts of texting Mick, once the gaffer, always the gaffer, from Tom.
Yeah.
You are a bit nervous. You're like...
I'm not nervous.
You are. You've got that look of... Are they going to keep on at this and I'm going to have to do it?
No, I'm not.
And I'm going to look like an idiot.
No.
Do you think...
Well, if I send the text, I look like an idiot. Honestly.
You don't think Mick... You don't think all your former teammates are texting Mick going... this is a big deal. He's 60.
Yeah.
There's nothing out of the ordinary for you to send him a text going, happy birthday, Mick.
How do you know I won't do?
Because you've already said you didn't.
Oh, well, I haven't yet, no.
It's 7:20. It's getting a bit late.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
It's getting to the period of afterthought.
Well, if I do, I'll text him tonight at 10 o'clock when the show's finished.
Word has it that Kilbane is DJing at Mick's birthday party in Coppers this weekend. Mambo number 5 on repeat until 5 a.m. No man like DJ Killer to clear
Sunday,
the dance floor.
Sunday night in Coppers, you can't beat it.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it? No man to clear the dance floor. I thought you did quite well on that.
Well, I don't know, so they say.
Yeah. What else is happening, Richie?
As you mentioned, the British Horse Racing Authority have suspended racing there until Wednesday at the earliest. It follows that outbreak of equine flu at the yard of former Grand National winning trainer Donald McCain. The BHA say the disease can take up to 3 days before symptoms are visible, meaning it will be Sunday at the earliest before they can gather all the necessary information about a possible resumption. The three horses at McCain's yard had all been vaccinated against the disease. Horses from the UK will not be allowed race in Ireland until further notice, but racing will go ahead here at home for now with Dundalk on the all-weather track tomorrow night. The BHA's Chief Regulatory Officer, Brant Dunshea, explains why they had to take such a hard line.
It's highly contagious, and an infected horse can shed virus onto a human, onto their clothes or their skin or their equipment, and that can be transmitted in that way. Depends on the health status of the horse as to whether or not it's vaccinated or unvaccinated. We're very fortunate in this country that our population are vaccinated against equine influenza. However, we're still establishing or trying to understand what particular strain of equine influenza this is. The fact that it's appeared in a vaccinated population does cause us some concern. So we're working quickly to try and understand what's happened there.
David Jennings is the Irish deputy editor of the Racing Post, and he told Ivan this evening on The Hard Shoulder what the Irish response has been.
I think when this news broke, first of all, we presumed that the horses which Donald McCain ran yesterday at Ayr, we presumed that those horses were the ones that tested positive for equine influenza. But that's not, in fact, the case. It's basically horses that were in the stable, and they were obviously put into quarantine. So it wasn't the horses that he actually brought to the races at Ayr, where Gordon Elliott had 5 runners. And thankfully, the BHA acted very, very quickly and they were able to tell Gordon that the five horses that ran it there could not return to the yard. So he was able to put them into quarantine, I think 20 minutes from his stable in Longwood and County Meath. So they didn't go near his the rest of his 300 or 400 horses or whatever he has in Calentra House. So that's a good thing that they're able to spot it so early. And I think that's key for Irish racing, especially for the Gordon Elliott stable, that was spotted so early.
Yeah, hopefully all the procedures that have been put in place have worked. I guess it's a waiting game at this stage.
Yeah, everybody seems to have acted correctly and promptly, and I don't think the response could be downplayed. I think everybody's taken this as seriously as it needs to be taken. And they've taken all the right steps so far, and so fingers crossed.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that around about 8:30.
West Ham have passed on evidence to police relating to the alleged racial abuse of Liverpool's Mo Salah. Footage emerged on social media of the incident following Monday night's Premier League match with the two teams at the London Stadium. West Ham say such abuse will not be tolerated and there's no place or excuse for this behaviour. They've also promised a lifetime ban for anybody found guilty of that Islamophobic abuse. Liverpool have received a timely boost, by the way, with the news that Salah won't be called up for international duty for Egypt during next month's international break. The Pharaohs have an African Cup of Nations qualifier with Niger on March 21st and a friendly with Nigeria 4 days later. Egyptian FA President Ahmed Shobier confirmed that Salah and West Brom defender Ahmed Hegazi will not be needed for either game. Liverpool face Everton, Burnley, Fulham and Tottenham in the Premier League next month on top of their Champions League last 16 second leg with Bayern Munich.
Unfortunately and unbelievably, the campaign to force Kev to text Mick McCarthy, happy birthday, simple as that, is off to a sluggish start. Just the 10 texts so far. But 5-3-1-0-6, look, if we get there in the next 3 minutes,
10 miles, it's grand, it's fine. Newly elected UEFA president Alexander Čeferin is promising an overhaul of European club competition. The Slovenian was elected unopposed today for another four-year term as the head of European football's governing body. After signing a new memorandum of understanding with the European Club Association yesterday, Čeferin today underlined that there will be no breakaway European Super League.
Have you been working out?
No.
Just wondering, you're doing a bit of a McIntyre here.
Am I?
There's no reason.
You got the hands.
It's a cold night. It's February 7th.
It's bloody freezing.
I can tell you something now. I have
short sleeves on. You're pushing the guns out.
No, give myself a little bit of a slap. I haven't.
You're like Aaron Gillan talking to Marty last Saturday night.
I haven't done a tap in about 8 months. That is the truth. Yeah,
you've done well for yourself.
No, I need to get back running again. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, well, it's impressive.
Maybe 6 months. 6 months.
Six months. All right.
Yeah.
I just thought you were maybe trying to make a statement.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not a gym. I'm not a gym man. You know that. Unlike one or two others.
Well, not Nathan anyway. Tottenham's wait to move to their new stadium continues, or me for that matter. The club have announced that the North London derby with Arsenal scheduled for March 2nd will be played at Wembley. Spurs say remedial works on the stadium's safety systems still need completing, while other fire detection and alarm systems also need to be tested.
It's hard to see how they get in before the end of the season.
It's not happening, is it?
There have to be questions.
Sorry,
there have been questions raised already.
The date fairness. they were given the Arsenal date as well, weren't they?
Well, they had always said, I think, there was always the suspicion that the Arsenal game, because it's the North London derby and all that goes with that, that is not the first game they wanted to take place.
But would you not just think, I tell you what, it's Arsenal, let's go and beat
them. If I'm Arsenal, I'm saying no way in hell are we playing the game there.
Yeah.
We're going to Wembley.
Yeah, of course you do. If you could actually get it to that date, but it looks like it's not going to happen.
Lads watching on YouTube, Cave's steaming by the pressure to send a birthday greeting. Haven't seen him this annoyed since he let fly at the ref during the Dubs v Colchis charity football match from Sean. I was actually surprised how annoyed you were getting at the referee. And then Brian Kerr said, yeah, Kev always had a bit of a mouth on him. Were you always having a rant at the ref? Were you having a proper go at him?
I wasn't having a proper go. That was timid.
Well, he said he's not coming back next year.
Loads of lads would have been all like that. It's just, you know, you get engrossed in the game.
I thought you were a nice guy. I thought you were a good guy.
Referees making bad decisions. Well, does it make you a bad guy because you're having a go at referee for making the wrong decision?
Well, it was a charity five-a-side, so it's not the best look.
sorry then, yeah. And I did apologise to him afterwards. I had a chat to him, yeah.
Well, 22 text messages in. We're getting there, Kev.
Yeah, they're slowly but surely.
We're a long way short.
Jonathan Davies will captain Wales for the first time on Saturday as they make 10 changes for their game with Italy in Rome. Flanker Thomas Young and winger John Holmes will make their first Six Nations appearances in that game. Dan Biggar has been selected a fly half. Conor O'Shea, for his part, has made two changes for that game with Eduardo Eduardo Padovani coming in on the wing, with Michele Campagnaro switching to outside centre. Nicola Quaglio will start at loose head. While USADA Chief Executive Travis Tiger says John Jones was not cheating despite a failed drug test before a fight in December. UFC 232 has moved from Las Vegas to LA after a trace amount of a banned substance which the MMA star had previously served a ban for was found in a system. But Tiger told this morning's OTBAM that those traces were not present intentionally.
He tested positive the day before and then a negative that day because of his specific gravity, which is the amount of water that's in your system at these really, 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 really low levels. Specific gravity can affect the lab's ability to see these trace amounts or not. And I think the test you're referring to, I don't have the dates in front of me, but I think the test you're referring to was the weigh-in date where he had lost significant amount of water weight, and the drug was there again at these really low picogram levels. And then the next day when we tested him before the fight, he had obviously, you know, put weight back on and had drunk a lot of water, and so it wasn't in there. And that, you know, if you followed the case and looked at the evidence, it is clearly consistent with the scientific determination of why one on that day was positive at that low level and then negative the next day.
There's much more from Tiger, obviously, on OTB.com.
Yeah, well worth watching that. Really interesting stuff, and what you heard there, like, you're getting into grey areas and intention, and for the head of USADA, the chief executive of USADA, to be saying that, I think a lot of people will take issue with it. But watch the full interview. It's up on offtheball.com now and on our social channels. Come on, Kev. Text Mick for the crack, lads. I'll buy you a pint in a pub of your choice next time you're in Carlo. We're trying to sell it to him here, David.
It's got far too many qualifiers there.
Yeah. Just get up to Dublin and we'll buy you a pint this evening, Kev, if you do it. Yeah, of course.
Jesus, the first.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. We just want the entertainment factor to keep us going to the football show.
Yeah.
Could have been a perfect hook to keep people listening all the way to 10. They'd be going, oh, is Mick going to text back? What's he going to say?
Yeah, keep the phone switched on.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you haven't texted them, so you've kind of ruined it for us. But that's fine.
Right.
You're going to be back for the football show with your team of the year.
I am.
We're looking
indeed
forward to that. That's coming up after 9. John Giles, though, is up next.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.